Today's episode is brought to you by Emco Beauty. Affordable, luxe for less, and cruelty-free beauty with every product under $50. Amazing, right?
We don't have time for this.
We'd like to acknowledge the traditional custodians of the land where we make this podcast, the Garigal and the Gayamangal people. We pay our respects to all First Nation elders, past, present and emerging.
Kicking off today with a random fact of the day.
Oh yeah, right.
My favourite thing. We'll preface this by saying it is not as useful as how to teach your kids to whistle.
Oh, because that changed my life.
Changed everyone's lives. I know.
Okay.
I just love random bits of information. So, Revsy, when reciting the alphabet,
oh, fuck's sake,
your lips only touch four times.
Cool.
This is the difference.
I'm waiting to be blown away.
The stark difference between you and I is that you go zero fucks given and I go, oh, interesting. I'm going to go through the alphabet and try and work out which are the letters where my lips touch.
Really?
Yep.
You're going to do that?
No, I did that when I first read this and I found it interesting. And
I don't think this show should be called We Don't Have Time for This. I think it should be called What We Choose to Do with Our Time. What do you mean? I once told you about a 6-minute meditation and you went, 6 minutes? But how long did it take to work out how many times your lips touch when you say the alphabet?
Well, I mean, B is I'm the second letter
with
of the
alphabet.
A, B. So
you're like, point made. I'm like,
second letter.
Jem, did you know when you turn on the tap, you only use 4 of your 5 fingers? Cool.
I would ponder on that.
I don't even know if that's true. I'm just trying to show you how.
Oh, no, it's completely false, but I would ponder on it. Like, I love random facts. I did, and I went through to test the theory, and I was like, story checks. This random fact of the day is accurate. There are 4 letters in the alphabet where your lips touch.
So when we got in here this morning and you're like, I've got something for the start of the show, and I was like, great, this is it?
Yep.
Let's start the episode.
We have 1,000 things to do, but we'd rather chat to you. With emails and meetings and husbands and kids, we don't have time for this. Just what you need, 2 basic bitches with a podcast.
Hello and welcome to We Don't Have Time for This. I'm your host, Gemma Pranita, a.k.a. Gemma Peanut on the gram, along with my co-host,
Kate Reeves.
Hello.
Sorry, I was sipping coffee. I'm quite tired.
Why are you tired,
unexplained,
babe?
Unexplained tired. I have no reason to be tired.
I feel like that is just being a parent.
Is it my iron levels?
Oh, come
on. Is my thyroid all right?
Is it your hormones?
Do I have long COVID? I don't know.
Doesn't matter.
It could be freaking anything.
It's all right. The coffee will sort you out.
Let's hope so.
So last week's episode got a lot of love.
Yes.
From our DLs.
Yes.
One of our DLs referred to it as a mixed platter.
It's a veritable charcuterie.
Yes.
Of we don't have time for this.
Bit of a smorgasbord.
Smorgasbord. Apologies for the whiplash.
I have to say, DLs, I'm so grateful that you guys are on board with how mine and Rebs's brains work, because we do dart around from topic to topic. We're not good at staying on task, but also we like conversations to flow freely. And if we're really honing in on a topic by chance, then we just really want to investigate it further, unapologetically, without time frames, blah, blah, blah. So it was a longer ep and the DLs liked it.
Yeah.
And in fact, one particular DL said, no, don't you dare declare, oh, it's coming up to the end of the hour, let's wrap it up, keep it going.
Well, Jem, this is interesting. How do you feel about that? Because you've always been like, keep it wanting more. I'm sorry, I have a podcast. I got to get out of here. Oh, God, it's 56 minutes. And I'm always like, well, it's cool because it's flowing. Like, where you got to be, you know?
I like the challenge of consistency.
No. Fuck off.
No, there's truth to
I
it.
I like the challenge of consistency is a mask for I don't think people really like me and I shouldn't have a podcast and I'm an imposter and it has to end before the hour so I can feel comfortable.
Facts.
I like the challenge of consistency. No, that's not true.
Okay. Do you know what it is?
No, you don't. No, you don't. You literally just said that. We like darting around doing different things all the time. Consistency is key. Bullshit.
Allow me to be honest.
Permission granted.
I'll admit, that I think that if we go over the hour, it's like, who do you think you are?
Yeah.
Eating into more than an hour of my day. And then I go, agreed.
Yeah.
Who do we think we are?
I think Jem's biggest anxiety when we were creating the show for the tour last year was that we would go 1 minute over 90 minutes.
I was like, a neat 90.
She kept saying, a tight 90 minutes. Tight. And then when one of the venues, you amazing chicks, were just clogging the bar and we were not able to start on time, I thought Jem was going to break out in hives.
Yeah, she's had like, a connection.
It has to end at 9:30.
I like a well-oiled machine. Okay. I like a tight ship.
Anyway, this is not a shit on Jem hour. No, not a minute longer. We had a follow-up.
We did. So DLs who listened to last week, you'll know that we waxed lyrical about narcissism and voice notes. And I mentioned foolishly or brilliantly, depending on how you feel, that some people are good at voice noting while others are wafflers. Now, I may have mentioned a girlfriend of mine overseas, Amelia, and she sent me this voice note reply because I forget she's a DL.
She's like the DL.
I know.
But okay.
I still forget. And this is what she sent.
Oh my God, how am I ever, ever going to leave your voice note ever again?
In voice note form.
And then she followed it up with another voice note. So now she's voice noting in streams of consciousness.
That's the only way I like them. But anyway.
Here we go.
Listen, maybe I secretly actually would love to have my own podcast. And maybe that's what I'm trying to do. And you are my audience of one. And I get to hear all of your life updates and everything gets one-sided because yes. I hear everything, which I know isn't actually probably everything that's going on. But I feel like I get so much of an update that I've got to give you my own podcast update back. And maybe that's why you get long, drawn-out like conversations with people for exactly that reason. Everyone gets to hear so much about what's going on in your life that they're like, better fill you in on mine. Actually, that's very fucking narcissistic, so I'm sorry, but maybe that's the heart of the issue.
Preach. She's right. I would love an hour 10, Jem. Updates from my mates
yeah.
because it's the same. Not to make this the most niche conversation ever, but yes, I get when I run into people or see mates I haven't seen in a long time, if they listen to the podcast, mm-hmm. they're like, so, oh my God, San Fran sounded amazing. And I'm like, how the fuck are you?
Yes.
It is very one-sided. So I would love to get long-winded, windy, waffly, go-on-forever, one-sided podcasts from my mates. Mm-hmm. I would never expect them to carve out the time to do that, but I would appreciate it. And I think you're looking a gift horse in the mouth with Amelia because I don't think you want her to stop sending you those voice notes.
No, I actually replied with, no, babe, that's not what I meant. Apology, apology, apology. Ah,
sorry for existing.
Cancel me as your friend. And urged her to continue them because I do enjoy them. And look, we have been told several times by friend DLs, friends who are in our inner circle who are listeners, who say, oh, the amount of times I want to rebut
intercept. Yeah, they're yelling at their phones.
They are. Mm. And I agree with you, Rebs. It is a hard unrelate for most of our DLs, but I also would appreciate more of an update on our mates. Yeah. And it bothers me that I know nothing about what's going on in their lives and they know close to everything.
Can I just add to Amelia's point, though? Mm. She is right. The podcast is not everything. God, I have so much shit going on that I can't and won't put on this podcast. So please, catch ups.
Yes. We did have a proper FaceTime after that.
Did you schedule it in?
We didn't. She actually called me on the random.
She's a queen.
And she actually voice noted me to let me know, you know what? I'm just going to call you. Great. I'm just going to try you. And she called and I answered and we chatted while I did my makeup before a meeting.
Great. All's well that ends well.
It is.
I have to tell a quick story.
Go on.
The funniest thing happened, just piggybacking on the theme of male fragility from last week.
Mm-hmm.
So I bought a giant mirror, like giant, very big, 50 kilos.
Damn. How did you get that up your three flights of stairs?
I paid for the courier to bring it up the stairs.
Okay.
Another $50. Anyway.
Feels worth it.
Now, I do own a drill now, but I can't hang a 50 kilo mirror.
Who can?
There are limits to my amazing boss bitch energy of owning a drill. Anyway, so I was like, okay, I have to get an Airtasker to come and hang this for me. So I was like, cool. I have all the specs and dimensions of this mirror. So I put it on Airtasker and I said, it's 50 kilos. This is the size of it. I even put a picture of it. I put the, you know, how they give you like a spec drawing.
Mm-hmm.
Put that up there.
I've noticed that Airtaskers almost demand pictures now.
Do they?
Yes.
Okay. Well, I had pictures. I put a picture of the wall. I said, it's not gyprock. It's the other one. Cement, whatever. I don't know. Plaster. It's plaster wall. I gave all the info. And then because I've had issues with this before, I'm like, and I live on a main road. There is parking at this place.
Oh my God. Wow.
And I'm up two.
Over-delivered.
I'm up two flights of stairs with no lift because I just don't want to hear their bullshit.
Mm.
They're like, oh, this must keep you fit. I'm like, yeah, yeah. There's no lift. Like everyone, like, what do you want me to do? This is why I need Airtaskers all the time. So a guy answered my ad. He's like, yeah, I'm a local, can be around there today. Music to my ears because I do like to get these things done or I never do them. So
true.
Yeah. If I don't do it that day.
There's a hyper-focus
yep.
in paying someone else to be hyper-focused.
Yes. I'm like, this hyper-focus window is closing.
Yep.
And if you don't come in the next 3 hours, that mirror is leaning against the wall in a box for 3 to 5 business years. So that's what's going to happen. So he turns up. He is the most beautiful man I've seen in a long time.
Froth.
Very attractive person.
Mm.
Piercing blue eyes.
Can we have an age bracket?
45?
Oh, not what I was expecting.
But like, whoa, right? Okay. Then he's like, hello for having me. I'm like, oh my God, he's fucking French.
Stop it.
What the fuck? Mm. So this gorgeous French Airtasker is at my door and I'm like, come on in, sir. And I'm like, here it is. And he goes,
No.
Lots of air sounds coming out of his plosive mouth. And I'm like, oh, okay, so he's beautiful, but I sense an issue. He starts putting his hands on his hips and like tutting. Looking at my wall. And I'm like, I left no info out. So I'm like, here we fucking go. I could tell it was going to be an issue already. He puts down his tools. He goes to lift up the mirror and he's like straining like he's going to throw out his back. He's like, hurr! And he goes, hurr, hurr. I'm like, okay. Like
suddenly I've got the
I
ick.
Know it's a big mirror, but this performance is Oscar worthy. I go, do you need anything? He goes, I don't know. I have to, this is a very big job.
And did I'm you like, lose your lady boner at this point?
Oh, look, yeah.
I would.
I was like,
I'd be like, you were beautiful to look at and now you're annoying me.
Yeah.
I've got the ick.
I was like,
please leave.
I'm going to go to the kitchen and let you handle this. Mm. I can't watch this fucking
performance.
Whatever this is. I can't watch it. So I went to the kitchen and then he's, excuse me, Kate. And I was like, yeah. He's like, like literal hot air coming out of this man.
I'm finding the ASMR a little bit intense, but do continue.
He's like, this is a 2-person job. And I was like,
okay. No shit, Sherlock.
And I was like, okay. And he's like, you know, I knew it was big, but I did not know how big it was. And I'm like, well, you did know how big it was because I wrote the dimensions, the weight. I gave you a picture. I told you the wall. I even told you where to park, motherfucker. Mm. Like, how is this my fault? And he's like.
Air your task.
Yeah, task that air. And he's like, ugh. And just kept tutting with his hand on his hip, looking at me to come up with a solution. And but I was just like,
you know what? I'll call my mate Barry down the road. I don't know why I hired you, but Barry will come.
And I was like, in what world is this now my problem? Do you not understand this exchange? Mm. I post it, I pay you money, and you do the thing. That's the exchange, not this huffy puffy. What do you want? And I was like, is he trying to get more money out of me?
No.
Because I'm not like, I was just like, what is going on? And I was like, okay, what do you propose? And just like looked at him and he goes, well, I could call a friend, but he has not called me back. And then by the time we split the fee, it's not really worth it for me. Blah, 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 blah.
Okay.
And I was like,
okay.
And I was like, so do you want to come back another time? And he goes, I do not know. And I was like, okay, cool. Well, you know, do you want to just cancel the task? And I just kept saying, if it can't be done, it can't be done. Like, get out of my house.
Just make a fucking decision and leave.
Anyway, this is just like such a beautiful person attitude to life.
Mm.
You know, I was like, he's just walked in here with his gorgeous eyes and his useless toolkit and his huffy puffy attitude and been like, it is not how I want it. And you are going to solve this for me. I bet he's moved through the world.
I
people solving shit for him.
I don't know. I need you to unpack this a little more, Revsy.
Well, let me finish the story and then let's see. All so right. I'm like,
she's on a roll.
So we agree. He's like, can you cancel it? And I was like, in my mind, I was thinking, do I get penalized? What happened? I was like, sure, I'll look at the app this afternoon. He goes. I'm like, ugh. So I open the app and I'm like, no, it's fine. I don't get penalized for canceling it. If he agrees on his end, it just cancels it. He had to come out and that's annoying, but I don't feel bad because, as I've said, I gave him all the information. So we cancel it. I repost the task because, you know, as I said, window of...
Oh, it's narrowing.
We've got an hour.
Yeah.
Till I'm over this mirror and selling it on Marketplace.
And making it someone else's problem.
Someone else's problem. I've already, it's too much. So... repost the task. I get another guy. He's like, hi, I can come tonight. Here's my info. Check out my review. I was like, great. Yes, come.
Wait, you didn't comment and go, just an FYI, it might be a two-person job.
I did.
Okay,
yes.
Good.
I DM'd. I said, someone came out, said it weighs 50 kilos. He goes, no, it's fine. I'll be there at 4:30 or whatever.
I'm nervous about where this story is going.
He knocks on my door. I open the door. Tiny little Asian man. He comes in with his tools. He gives it one look. He goes, ooh. And I'm like, do you need anything? And he goes, all good. I go to the kitchen and he's like, excuse me, Kate. I'm like, yes. He's like, all done. It's on the wall. And I was like, well, blow me down. And I was like, thank you so much. He's like, all good. Like, he was like looking at me like I was crazy because I was so grateful. I was like, oh my God, thank you so much. Anyway, I gave him a tip on Airtasker and I was like, do you want a coffee or do you need any water? He's like, all good.
He had time to
packed
spare.
Packed you're up like- his kit. He was in and out 5 minutes. Yeah. My mirror looks gorgeous. And I was just like, yeah.
Beautiful person energy.
Beautiful person energy. Just everything's a little too hard and whingy and humpy. You know, this little efficient dude, in he comes, gone. Like, and I tipped him because I want his, the way he moves through the world, to be nice and easy.
Yes.
Because he is giving out that energy to the world, you know? Anyway, fascinating little story, I thought.
What's your theory on really, really, really good looking people being bad in bed?
This is my whole life philosophy.
Yeah.
They usually are because they never had to be good.
Mm. They didn't have to try to attract anyone, women or men. Fawn on them.
And because they move through the world with ease, as in everything's just a little easier because people are just a little more open to them.
Mm.
They don't learn that, like, oh, you got to earn some things. And they don't have it. Yeah, they don't have any trouble pulling.
Yeah.
And I think if you think like, oh, people are just smiley and happy and nice to me all the time. When you're in bed, you're thinking, oh, she'll love it. Or he'll love it. This will be great. You know, they just have like a certain way of moving through life that's just a little easier. Whereas us normies know we got to put in a bit of effort.
DLs, I remember Revs once dated what you would call a quintessential attractive man.
For context, Gem and I don't have the same taste in men. We've never, ever been attracted to the same guy. She's a Hemsworthy type. I'm a dad bod type. You know.
Sure.
How it goes.
But there was a guy that you dated once who explicitly asked you to tell him how good he was. Now, I find this interesting. It's made me laugh.
It's your favorite story.
It is because it's so cringy. Like, yeah. I can't imagine in the middle of whatever deed you're doing and this hunk of a man is like...
He was like objectively beautiful.
Yes, this is why I say this because the story checks, right? Yeah. But the insecurity of his male fragility in the throes of passion, he needed you to tell him how good he was.
Well, specifically.
What was the wording? Out with it.
I won't do the accent.
Don't do the accent. Don't out him that much.
I can't even say it. Just say it.
Do you want me to say it?
It makes me feel sick.
Do you want me to say it? He said, this is verbatim. I know I want to do it with the accent too, but I won't. Nope.
Anonymity.
Okay. Show me how much you love my body.
Yeah. I was like, don't you think I would if I did? Is this something we have to ask? And no shade to anyone's kinks. If you like dirty talk, great.
I enjoy a little bit of dirty talk.
It wasn't dirty talk. He wasn't wanting me to describe anything. He wanted me to just like worship him.
Yes.
Physically worship him.
But what I find curious, Revsy, is one of your receiver love languages is words of affirmation.
Yeah.
And yet here is this man mid-sex.
Asking for affirmation.
Asking for affirmations, and you got the ick over it.
By the way, it's not Americano, in case you think that's what the accent was.
No, I was clear. She loves an international rogue.
My girlfriends do call me UN.
She loves it.
I'm collecting passports.
Don't,
what can I say?
Don't live overseas, Revs. Just work your way
just
through.
Just bring them to me.
The mind boggles. Honestly, it's the thing that surprises me most about you.
What?
Your taste in men.
Really?
Yeah. It does. It surprises me.
The international flavors?
Yes. When I think about your early dating history, it's very different to your latter years dating history. And it just surprises me. Look, can we not evolve? You've definitely evolved.
It's just a coincidence.
Do you think?
It's just a coincidence.
I don't know that it is.
Well, it's not that I'm not attracted to Aussie guys. Mm. I just like the ones I've like really been with have happened to not be Aussie.
Yeah, but there's a lot of pitfalls that come with dating someone from overseas. Yeah. Like I've got a lot of friends who are married to someone from overseas, and there's challenges there, especially when you have kids together and then you have to figure out where to root yourselves. Root yourselves. Where to lay some roots for your future and long-term life and all that kind of stuff. It's tricky.
Yeah, it is.
And yet...
And I would be fearful if either of my children ended up with someone from overseas.
Exactly.
Just selfishly.
You married someone from overseas.
I did.
So you did, you know, more than a decade of being with that person, and there were challenges with him being from Scotland. Not him personally, but the situation and the circumstances. And then you proceeded to date more international people.
Cool. Coincidence.
I don't know because
I didn't say, nah, I'm not dating Aussies. Like I didn't rule them out.
No, I know you didn't, but I felt like the challenges of dating someone overseas would be enough to turn you off, opening yourself up to the possibility or the opportunity of that again, you know? But not you.
No.
I actually question if you are attracted to homegrown Aussie
men. I will say, oh God.
I don't think
how many episodes in a row do we want to get cancelled? I do like about different cultures because sometimes I feel a little fish out of water in the Aussie laid backness.
Oh, okay.
Because I'm not, so for example, I really like British culture and the cultural life of Britain. Like, you know, I remember when I first went home to Scotland to meet all my in-laws, I remember there was like a story on the front page of the newspaper that was about a theatre show, you know, in London, or in the Times or whatever. And I was like, I love this. And I do love that. So like, I like adopting people's cool cultures that I feel, you know, that I'm into.
Just the cool bits.
Just the cool bits. Some of the toxic bits. Fuck off. I do like that. But also Aussie men, they are.
She's being so delicate.
Because I know you're all married to them. Like, I get it. But Aussie men aren't like forthright. Not all Aussie men. I can't say it.
I know. I know what you're trying to say.
They don't have the throwdown, and they're like, we don't date in Australia like pretty much everywhere else in the world. It's kind of like, yeah, cool, maybe. Let's not define it.
But don't you think the language of dating is becoming more universal? Like I feel like, you know, with social media, whatever, the world is becoming smaller. We are getting influence. Like I feel like waterfall dating, for example, was exclusive to America. But now I hear about it happening in Australia.
Yes. And, you know, I dated a Frenchman, well, a couple of years ago, who, he was very much like, no, in France we date exclusively from the jump. And I was like, well, you're in Sydney, so we don't. And he was like, oh, no, I would never date two people at once. And I'm like, oh, fascinating. And I did check that with a friend of ours who's married to a Frenchman. She's like, yeah. But then they take mistresses later.
It really goes against the cliche. I'm not going to lie. I'm surprised.
And that is it. They are all just cliches.
They just feel so Machiavellian.
But imagine if someone was dating you and they're like, well, she's Australian, so you can't make those assumptions about individual people. But like, you know, I have a few really good American friends, and I really do identify with a lot of my partner's Americanness in like, I love American ambition. I like how they're direct. Like I like a lot of those things.
Okay, let me ask you this then. With Americano, is his Americanness attractive to you, or are you just attracted to him, the person, and he just so happens to be American, and then you can cherry pick the cool bits out of the American culture that you love and directly apply it to him and go, that's what makes him extra great.
Well, it's funny. It only lasts for a bit. someone's where they're from. And then they're just them, you know. But like, yes, in the initial stages of dating, it's interesting. Yeah. Like it would be interesting if they were from the country and they grew up on a farm, you know, like it's like, oh, so how was that? Like it does give a certain spice to the getting to know you phase. But ultimately then they're just them.
Yes, but there's something about where you were born and where you were raised that it makes them inherently them. Like I've got a girlfriend who's married to a country boy and he is that homegrown. Yeah. He reeks of that country boy charm. Like he's mild mannered and gorgeous and genteel and kind.
Salt of the earth.
Yes. Yep. And so story checks.
Yes. Yeah. But it's not like I'm like, oh no, I won't date Australian men. Mm. It is actually just a coincidence, I think. But also, hey, maybe there's a Venn diagram of divorcees being international because of the challenges that were in my dating pool.
Yes.
You know?
Yeah.
Anyway, I'm glad I've ended up with my American. I love him very much.
Not to throw my husband under the bus, but
it wouldn't be Tuesday if we didn't.
Well, he admitted to me that having an Australian accent really worked for him in America.
Oh, that's well known. Mm. That is well known.
Yeah, he said American girls loved it.
Yeah.
He said I would just open my mouth and say a sentence. They'd be like, are you Aussie? But also, I love your accent.
I bet American girls were really direct and could do a lot of the dating for him. Do you know what I mean? Like, I feel like Aussie girl, Aussie bloke, it's like, it's so chill. It's asleep sometimes. Yeah. Do you know what I mean? Like really lying down. Oh my God. I just obviously, yeah.
I know we are, DLs, I feel like I need to say this. We are grossly generalizing here.
Obviously. And I have dated lots of Aussies in my time, you know. I love lots of Aussie blokes. I'm not against them. I feel like I'm having to defend my UN status.
Mm-hmm.
Ad break.
Got to keep the lights on.
Hey, Jem, want to play a game?
Do I ever not want to play a game?
Okay. If you lost your makeup bag, what are the three MCO beauty products you would immediately repurchase?
Flawless Glow Luminous Skin Filter.
Okay. They didn't even hesitate.
Well, it's my first step. Primer, concealer in one.
And it creates that dewy finish that we love.
Mm-hmm. Okay. So number two would be the Super Glow Bronzing Drops.
Knew it. Called it.
I mean, I love the Sun-Kissed Bronze look, obviously. Especially as we're going into the cooler months, Rebsy.
It's so hydrating.
Yep. And my last pick would be...
Extend Lash Mascara.
Ah, of course. My fave.
Well, it's everyone's favourite tubular mascara, actually.
So DLs, head into Chemist Warehouse, Woolworths, Big W, or jump online to mcobeauty.com to stock up on all of their cult faves.
And check out their new products today.
You know what I don't have time for?
What don't you have time for?
My daughter's random and rogue moments of jealousy.
Oh, jealousy.
Yeah, jealousy is an interesting one. I kind of want to unpack it a little bit with you, Revzy, because it's a semi-alien concept to us, but I understand that it's part of being a human.
Yes.
It's in many people's human experience, and it doesn't make you a bad person if you experience jealousy.
It's a very real human emotion.
Yes.
But for new listeners, we have talked about this before in the list of challenges that Gem and I face.
Of which there are many.
Of which there are many. Jealousy is not something that's like on top of the list for either of us.
Yeah. And it's funny, like when we do AMAs, we do often get the question, do you ever get jealous of each other?
Yeah.
And we genuinely don't.
We just don't. And we're also not jealous in romantic relationships.
Never.
We don't fixate on old partners or like, and I count that as lucky. I don't think that's a skill. I haven't cultivated that. I haven't worked on that. I just don't feel those feelings.
I can't imagine how hard that would be actually, being in a best friendship with someone and you had the same taste or magnetism towards men. Like I would find that would be hard.
Yeah.
Actually.
Yeah. I think jealousy, and I've got a very dear friend and it is top of her list of challenges.
Really?
Yes. She has extreme jealousy.
And does she own it?
Yep. She owns it. She works really hard on it, but it does show up in romantic relationships and friendships, in professional relationships. It's very hard for her. Mm. She has to keep a real eye on it. I 100% believe it is a very real human emotion.
Well, on what you were saying about keeping a real eye on it, I feel like I have to keep an eye on it for Raph a little bit. And I feel a little bit out of my depth as a parent because I'm not quite sure how to assist her.
Okay.
I have given her the language of jealousy. Like I've said to her, oh, honey, you're just feeling jealous of your brother.
Mm.
And now she can actively and consciously say, I'm feeling jealous.
Great.
Which I think is fabulous.
Amazing.
For her to have that ownership. So a small example, which I've shared on the potty before, was I did a full refresh of Iggy's room. He moved to his big boy bed. I got him new bits of furniture, full makeover, and a reveal for Iggy. And Rafa really struggled that there was a lot of attention on Iggy, mm-hmm. and she was acting out and crying and she didn't have the language, so I gave her the word jealous. So now she can articulate it and verbalize it, which is great. But I recently took Iggy, he's just turned 4 last month, to his 4-year-old vaccinations. Now, not where you thought this was going, but nope. Stay with me.
I want to get vaccinated against meningococcal.
You're not wrong.
No.
So of all the things I thought I was going to worry about,
yeah.
taking Iggy, my sweet, delicate, gorgeous little boy Iggy, who was riddled with anxiety because I didn't want to spring the immunizer.
Hey, yes. Look at you.
I know. I'm trying to be
good
a better
parenting.
Thank you. I had you and the DLs.
Can we get a round of applause, Editor Marley, please? Please drop some applause in. Good parenting,
look,
Gemma.
I heard all the DLs collectively saying, don't spring shit on him, give him warning.
Dude, the internet aunties were freaking out for Iggy. We were all very concerned.
And did he not surprise us all? He had some resilience. He worked it out.
Girlfriend, no.
We digress.
Anyway.
Okay. So in the lead up, I said, look, Iggy, today you're going to have a needle. They call it needle. You know, play with their doctor's kit. You're gonna have a, and he's like, oh, but will it hurt? Instant anxiety rush and dump. He was like asking all the questions. How long will it hurt? Now, in the waiting room, Rafa was fucking amazing.
Mm-hmm.
She was like, oh, Iggy, it really doesn't hurt that much. Like, and then she would like sort of faux pinch his skin. And she's like, it's like that. And then it's done.
Yeah.
It doesn't hurt at all. I promise, Iggy, like you've got this, like being the amazing supportive sister. And I was like, how the fuck is he going to go? Now, when I think back to Iggy's journey of immunizations, there's actually a big gap between 2 and 4. So by the time they turn 4.
18 months and 4.
Yeah, it's a long time.
It's a long time.
It's a long time because I was like, shit, it's been a while.
Yeah.
Now, when I think back to all the vaccinations that he had prior, huge tears, big emotion, needed his bunny, needed lots of comfort and cuddles, like very different to Rafa.
Yeah.
Again, those were his needs. Happy to meet them with lots of cuddles and patience with his crying. So I personally was feeling a little bit anxious as a mum taking him to this, but I had Rafa, a bit like Isla, mm-hmm. cheerleading her brother.
Yep.
So I thought, great. Then we walk into the nurse's office. I did not anticipate that me and the nurse would spend the entire time managing Rafa's feelings because she had a stage 20 meltdown that she wasn't getting the needle. And of course the nurse is saying, well, I can't give you a needle. And she's like, why can't I have, why does Iggy get to have what, you know? And I can see this nurse like almost in a state of disbelief.
She's like, this was not on today's bingo card.
It definitely, and I could imagine her going home to her partner and going, wow, in my 20 years
I thought I'd seen it
working
all.
As a registered nurse, never in my life have I had a 5-year-old drop their bundle over not getting a needle. And then she's like placating Rafa with like, do you want stickers? Do you want a lollipop? And I'm like,
how about a colonoscopy? Would that do?
This is about Iggy. Like, I was so thrown. Meanwhile, Iggy's just patiently sitting on my lap.
Just waiting
just
for his
needle. Quietly managing his own anxiety while I'm trying to calm
Rafa
down.
Oh, my God. Okay. Oh. Well, we need to know how it ended.
Iggy didn't cry. The bravery on this boy. Like, you know how you have such different types of pride for your kids.
Yeah.
Like with Rafa, it'll be like her learning to do a backflip into the foam pit. And I'm like, I'm so proud of you. And with Iggy, it's the bravery on his face as he took a needle and proceeded to not cry. Like I was so proud of him. And of course, it's not me shaming crying.
No.
If he cried, it would have been fine. But I saw progress.
Yeah, in that he could handle it.
Yes.
Yeah, because you briefed him.
Yes, I briefed him. But also that's what you want for your kids. Kids, right? Like you want them to be able to cope with what comes at them.
With things that have to happen in life.
Yeah. And that was it. I did a lot of explaining of like, I don't like needles either, Iggy, but we have to do these things.
Yeah. Thank Christ you'll never have to do a pap smear, Iggy.
Yeah, you lucky bastard.
Don't worry, Raph. You've got plenty of things in your future. So, okay, so back to Raph's jealousy. This is so not where I thought this was going.
I know.
Has it shown up in other areas or is it usually centered around her brother?
Almost exclusively, always centered around her brother.
Okay, so it doesn't come up with friends or at school or daycare or
and
like.
It's surprising. Like, for example, if she has to go to another friend's birthday party, she's the one picking out the present, wrapping it, can't wait to write the card, can't wait to give the gift, you know, can't wait to play co-host at their party and help hand out.
It's like so you.
I know. She's a real team player in that sense. As soon as it's Iggy's party or the opening of his birthday present, she really struggles. And I wonder if she can let out these raw emotions because it's a safe space. Yep. I don't know. I just don't get the feeling she's suppressing or burying jealousy.
At other times.
Yes.
Yeah,
in the company of her own friends. Well, kids are unfiltered, right?
They're not good at suppressing much.
Yeah, correct.
Yet. Okay, so it's obviously a jealousy issue with the focus on her within the family or against Iggs. I mean, obviously, like as a firstborn, do I need to get on my firstborn soapbox again?
Go on then.
No, you subsequent borns always eye roll like, oh, little pity party for the firstborn.
I don't feel sorry for you.
Do you want to understand your daughter or not?
I do.
Okay. Right. So listen up.
All right. Therapist.
I'm just going to say.
Therapy with Kate Revs.
Okay. You yourself will admit that like Rafa annoys you more than Iggy. Like Iggy's cute and vulnerable.
I don't want her to discover this on the podcast if she ever decides to listen to us.
You've got bigger problems if she discovers the podcast, which she will one day. You know, like Rafa is your firecracker that, yes, you don't have to worry about as much, but also, you know, gets under your skin, gets on your nerves. Like she takes up bigger parenting oxygen from you than Iggy does. Mm-hmm. She's a big day, you know?
She is a big day.
She's a big day.
She's STBH.
She's STBH. She's a lot. She's all the things we say about women who are here, you know? And she will feel, even though she's all those things and confident and all that, she is going to feel the little tiny nuanced micro facial expressions energy from you that she's annoying and Iggy isn't. She's going to feel it. And she is going to internalize that as I'm not as good as Iggy, or I don't have as much attention from my parents as Iggy, or Iggy gets all this and it must look so effortless, you know, because he's just like, hey, and she's like, I'm doing all this shit. I'm doing cartwheels and tap dances and I'm just annoying you more. And then she doubles down and it's more. But anyway, the point is, I would imagine there's a root cause of her feeling like she needs to get more attention. Mm. Is there a way you can just sort of volunteer some more attention to her to get a jump on it? Or are you like, no,
she gets get your place. So much attention. So very much.
Very much
that attention. I have to overcompensate a little bit with Iggs. And on the annoying quality front, she definitely annoys me. But do you know who annoys the shit out of her? Is her brother.
Yeah.
Because while we give a lot of credit to Iggy being this sweet little genteel guy, he can also be that jerk brother.
Oh, the annoying little shit brother.
Where she's
100%.
Built an epic castle out of Duplo and he kicks it right over.
Yeah.
And then her crying makes him laugh. You know, there's that side as well. And it's exhausting to parent.
Yeah. It's like, can everyone just go to their own room?
But in that scenario, it feels very black and white to me where I'm like, Iggy, not okay.
Yeah.
Would you like it if you worked on something? Raph has been working really hard on this. Find something else to play. You know, like that's really easy.
Mm.
But the jealousy thing feels very layered. And she has straight up said to me multiple times, you like Iggy more than me.
There you go.
Okay, I know that that's really overt and obvious.
Yeah.
But I am consistent with my response every single time, which is I love you both exactly the same.
Yeah.
I treat you both exactly the same.
Here is Jem yet again asking the universe to allow her parenting consistency to finally have an effect. As she once famously said on this podcast, we've had this chat. Why are we going over this again?
Because
they're 4 and 5.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, your consistent answer will sink in one day.
I know.
But there must be some core base animal thing we have in our tribe to make sure, well, there is, we have our parents' love because it's a safety thing.
Mm.
You know, like when we were in caves, we had to be loved, otherwise we'd be less protected against the wolves or whatever.
Yeah, and that whole toddlers looking like adorable cartoon characters is by design, yes. So we don't toss them out the window.
And the littlest one is the cutest one.
Yeah, see, this is your personal shadow work coming out here.
That's
about
the
your
truth.
Yes, because your little sister was littler and cuter. When she was two, you were nearly five, you know? So they were like, look at the cute little, and two-year-olds are cuter.
And you know what's
they
annoying? Fucking five-year-olds. Annoying. Yeah. Especially ones who are like, I want a needle. You know, like annoying.
Yeah.
But yeah.
Ruff is quite like you, actually.
I get it. Like, I'm not going to defend her right to have a stage 20 meltdown over not getting a needle. That's annoying kid shit. And like, it's the lol. But I also have empathy for the core feeling in there, which is like, oh, it's all about him again, which of course isn't true.
But
that's her truth.
But it bothers me because why can't she have the self-awareness?
Because she's five.
No, unacceptable. Of all the moments when it's all about her. And Iggy in his personality is like, go Rafa, you know, like when it's her birthday, he's very like, it's Rafa's birthday.
Yeah.
Like he's just so generous in his spirit towards someone else getting all the attention and Rafa struggles with it.
You can be generous in spirit towards other people when you just naturally are getting all that easy love and attention all the time. It's easy to be generous. When you feel like you're grabbing for it, it's not as easy to be generous. Is all I'm saying. Just a moment for the firstborns.
I feel like you're reparenting yourself through our chats about parenting
trauma.
Rafa. Is your trauma's coming out? It's interesting.
I don't want it to sound like epic trauma, but there is something about a firstborn, and there has been a lot written lately about the firstborn girl as well. It is a particular role in the family that people expect a lot of maturity ahead of time. Like you're like, why can't she just accept that she gets her times? It's like she's five and she's still working out her social dynamic intelligence.
And do you know what the added layer is with Raf as well that I guess has led me to this point where she is craving more attention is because she's so fiercely independent and capable. That, you know, we talked about in the podcast last week as well about parenting to your kids' needs.
Yeah.
There is definitely a degree of me within all of this where I'm like, oh, she's fine.
Yeah.
You know, she can handle herself. Yeah. She's fucking resilient.
Yeah.
And maybe I do forget that she is just five because she presents like a fucking 15-year-old.
100%.
Whereas Iggy.
Which we expect of our firstborns. We do. We expect them to grow up quicker and just like, come on, I can't deal with you. I'm dealing with the little one. You know, it is a real thing. I'm not saying I've like done it any differently in my setup, you know, like. Isla has had, I do expect way more from her and I do want her to just like get things and handle things and, you know.
Yeah, but you do consciously as a parent work hard to make sure that the scales are balanced.
Yes.
And I've seen you doing that.
I do.
Where Iggy is a little bit like Teddy. They're quite similar in that they are our second born boys and they lean into the baby.
Yeah.
They like it.
They
want to be mummed and that's fine. Yep. We can meet them at their needs level for certain things.
Uh-huh.
But then there are things that they can't get away with like
weaponized incompetence.
Totally. Or chores, you know, like you always talk about not letting Isla lean into those female cliches of laying the table. It's like you kind of delegate that chore to Teddy, which I think is brilliant.
Yeah.
But you have to work a bit harder, right? Because the instinct is to, well, Isla's just handling it. And I think there's a bit of that happening with Raf where I assume she's going to be cool, but I did not expect her to lose her shit over Iggy getting a needle.
Yeah, I definitely do have eyes on it because when I'm with my sister and my cousin and we hang out a lot in a big family dynamic and they are the youngest, my sister's the youngest, and my cousin is an only child. And I see it in them too, their firstborns. It's annoying. Do you know what I mean? Like it's grating and they're like, ugh. You know, Tommy, Frankie. And I feel an affinity and a deeper empathy
to them
for Frankie and Tommy as firstborns to the point where we have firstborns club. The four of us, me, those two and Isla.
Oh my God.
And we're like, firstborns club. And every time, but, and I'm not like, God, I'm not for a second offering real advice here. This is an armchair theory, but just a little anecdote. When we were away on holiday recently as that big family and, you know, Tommy would kick off about something because he was feeling there was a lot of attention on little Max. We've previously talked about why. And he would like, then I would see him trying to get a bit of attention and, you know.
Tommy.
Little, yeah. And okay. Like a four-year-old boy's way of getting attention is ultimately going to be something annoying. I did note if I just wink at him and go like firstborn's club or like give him a little like, I get it, mate. Like we're all focusing a lot on Max. He chills a bit. Mm. He calms down a little bit. I've tried to really unsubscribe from a lot of parenting content that I get served, but you do see this from experts all the time.
Yes.
Like if your kid is kicking off in a way that is absolutely sending you crazy, it's a clue to something else. Mm. And it's usually if they need attention, they haven't had enough time with you. They haven't had enough one-on-one quiet connection.
They're acting out because they're seeking connection.
They've got a deficit that needs looking at.
Yeah.
So what could that be for? I mean, she's just started school 5 seconds ago. It's a huge transition. And even though she's so, so capable and strong and independent and all those things we could only wish for all our kids, like she's still only five. Mm. She's still going through this huge milestone. A stage 20 meltdown at this point kind of makes sense.
Babe, we've had many a meltdown post-school. Everyone warned me about it and I have witnessed it now firsthand and I'm like, oh yeah, this is a thing, a real thing. And I know that there are some friends I've spoken to who also have their firstborns experiencing school for the first time who have said, oh, we've had an okay first week. I'm like almost waiting in anticipation for them to absolutely lose their shit. Mm. And it's coming in week two.
Yeah.
Rather than week one, because the novelty now is starting to wear off and the realization of, oh, this is a
five-day-a-week
thing.
Yeah, brace for week six is all I'm going to say.
On parenting philosophies and what you say the experts say about acting out being a clue for stuff.
Yeah.
I guess I wanted to bring up like gentle parenting and one of the things like I'm not an advocate for gentle parenting at all, but my favorite takeaway is that the sentiment of just validating their feelings for a second.
Yes.
Like I've had to try and explain this to my hubs because he doesn't really get fed parenting advice or information at all in any of his algorithms. It's always surfing and hot chicks in bikinis.
Good for him. Must be nice. Imagine that's your experience. He was like, parenting is a fucking breeze. I'm just going to sit down and look at my hot chicks.
It's great. Or he watches kook slams, you know, like people fucking themselves. It's real escapism. Sometimes I want to jump into his feed and just get washed with all of that.
I'm sure he doesn't want to jump into your lying awake at night wondering what to do about Rafa's jealousy. But anyway.
Yeah,
so you have to talk him through it.
Yeah, so I explained to Hubs, for example, like the most basic adjustment is if one of our kids falls over and hurts themselves, instead of saying, you're okay, you're fine, you're okay, which was one of his tactics, is to change it to, are you okay? And I just said to Hubs really casually, hey, can we just switch that to, are you okay, instead of, you're okay?
What a huge difference.
Yes, and it made an enormous difference because it de-escalated things much quicker because he felt seen and his feelings were validated rather than quashed, you know?
Like,
imagine being told, you're okay. You're fine.
When you're not.
Yes.
Okay. And I hazard to say this was not something that was modeled to us a lot by the boomers, which makes a lot of sense because their parents went to war.
Yes.
And so if you fall over and scrape your knee, you are okay compared to, you know, going into Africa, into the literal trenches.
Yes.
So I get it. But yeah, we weren't validated a lot.
No.
In fact, we were told on loop, because I said so. You know, and you're just like, you deal with it. Mm. I've said so. End of conversation.
Totally.
You know?
Like I remember getting immunizations as a kid and my mum is a gentle parent in inverted commas.
Incredibly loving and soft person.
She didn't parent as a verb at that time, but she would say like, it's just part of life. That's just what we do. Mm-hmm. Not, she never said suck it up, but she's like, this is the way things are.
Yeah, yeah.
And you have to get your immunizations. This is a non-negotiable for me as a parent. End of.
Yeah.
But with Iggy, I even just me saying, hey, buddy, Mummy doesn't like needles either. Mm. And he would look at me like, oh, you don't like them either. So it's okay for me to not like them too, but yet you do them too.
Yeah, there's nothing wrong with me that I'm scared of this. Mm. Yeah, it's okay to be scared.
Yeah.
And you will survive it. Yes. You'll come through it. And yeah, it'll hurt, but like you'll be okay.
He was on the verge of his feelings being escalated because I could see the anxiety building. Mm. Now, if I just kept saying, it's fine. Cause
no big deal.
Because Rafa was making it not a big deal, which I will say was helpful.
Yeah.
You know, to have positive energy. Imagine a sibling being like, it's really fucked. You're going to hate it. It's going to hurt like a mofo.
Scariest thing I've ever done.
Yeah, right? Not so productive. So I appreciated Rafa's approach, but then I kind of reinforced it with, I see you. It is scary. Mummy has a needle phobia.
Yeah.
I don't want to transfer that phobia to you, but you're okay. And he was fine.
Yeah. Okay. All right. It's funny. I had like the next stage version of that literally this morning.
Oh yeah.
Where Isla's had a situation at school and she was anxious about going today because she thinks someone's dobbed on a group of them and she thinks she's going to have to face the music today.
Oh.
And she was like, I don't feel well. And like, and I was like, hey kiddo, avoiding this is not going to make it go away. It is only going to stretch it out. You have to go to school today and face the music. Otherwise, if you don't go today, when you go tomorrow, you'll have to face the music and you'll be sat down then. So it's better to go today. And yes, it's going to feel uncomfortable, but this is, you just got to go through this.
Yeah, you got to rip the Band-Aid off.
And the only way is through, kiddo. Yeah. Like you can't avoid discomfort.
And was she okay with it?
Well, no, she was still like, I don't want to. But I could see it's like a shoulders coming down. You know, you can see them like, it's less anxiety in a knot up here and you see them relax a little bit in, yeah, just being a little bit understood.
Yeah.
Like it's not going to be perfect or easy breezy, but it's something you kind of have to walk through and, oh, well,
yeah,
you know.
And just like everything, the thinking of it is always harder than the doing of it.
I said that to her. I was like, thinking about it now at home is going to be way worse than when you're actually at school going through it.
And then think about the day after that.
Yeah.
You're free from this. You're
done. It's in your past.
Yeah.
It's funny because I think probably people's fear of over-validating feelings or the jokes about gentle parenting are like, you're going to make them soft. Mm. Like, but I actually think it's the opposite. Mm. It's going like, no, yeah, shit happens. There's still an air of shit happens or suck it up. But it's like, it's just giving you a bit of an engine to be like, but you can handle it.
Yeah.
Shit happens, but you can handle it. I believe in you. You've got this kind of energy.
It's funny how there can be a misinterpretation, right, of this whole, oh, they're soft. They're not going to be able to handle the world. They're not going to be resilient. It's bullshit.
Yeah.
You know, you just reminded me of last week's episode where we talked about needs being met and how a lot of DLs said they had, light bulb moment, whatever you want to call it, about it's okay to meet your kids' needs differently. Because everyone's got a different set of needs. And I said, that's all I'm doing is meeting my kids' needs. Now, someone misinterpreted that as, I don't know how I feel about giving my kids whatever they want.
Mm.
And I was like, no, that's not what I mean.
Emotional needs.
By having my kids' needs met. It is 100% emotional needs.
Yeah.
It's not material needs.
Well, they're not going to have 100% of their emotional needs met either. And that's also the world.
Mm-hmm.
But the solution is not to remove all emotional needs being met. It's like to try and meet as many as you can.
Or to deny what their needs are in the first place, 100%. Which is what happens. For example, I keep coming back to this, but like, Iggy's need in that moment was to not face the needle.
Yeah.
I didn't meet that need.
No.
He still had to go through with it, but I met his emotional need of needing to be acknowledged that this is hard and uncomfortable.
Yeah.
That's the difference.
Yes. Anyway, we're all out here doing our best.
Aren't we just?
Can't wait to hear how we fuck up this generation. That'll be good dinner time. When our kids have a podcast, we'll hear all about it.
But you know what I do love is the thought that when our kids become parents, which hopefully they will one day get to experience that, is they'll be modeling to their kids what they've witnessed through us raising them.
And doing better. They'll be upgrading the software and making it even better because they'll know more by then. You know?
GP.
Yeah. Speaking of more.
Oh, look at that little segue.
That was good. That was radio style.
I love it.
Guys, we have a little bit of an announcement.
There are
a little bit of announcements.
A big announcement.
Let's own it for what it is. Yeah. This is huge.
Yeah. There are some changes going on over here. We don't have time for this. We have decided 2024 is the year of the DLs.
Yep.
We are really trying to connect you to each other, connect you to us, connect you to the community, really listen to what you guys want from the community and the podcast.
And be more intentional with how we respond to what our DLs want.
Yeah. Because the coolest thing, hands down, about this podcast is the DLs. Mm-hmm. The DLs are an amazing bunch. You're an amazing bunch of ladies and those couple of guys. So we are changing our subscription offering.
Indeed we are.
So what has always been called D&M is getting a little bit of a shakeup.
It is. It's getting a facelift. It's getting a full rebrand, DLs.
It is. It is no longer going to be called D&M. Before we get into this, I just want to say real quick, don't panic. D&M isn't going anywhere, as in the whole year and a half of episodes, the back catalogue, it's not going anywhere. You won't lose it. It will stay in the feed. But we are changing our subscription episodes to
more time for this
because we've been asking you and that is what you want from us.
Yeah.
We are not journalists.
No. And look, let's be clear for a second. Part of this major pivot is that Revs and I thought – deep diving into one single topic for one full 45 to 1 hour length episode would be awesome.
Yeah.
But the reality is, and I think we touched on this in this episode, is we do like our conversations to flow freely.
Yeah.
We do like to dart about. And what we were finding hard about D&M episode is Revs and I would naturally
want to move the conversation on.
Onto something else or something each other had mentioned sparked a thought for another whole conversation.
Yeah. But then and we would shelve it.
We would shelve it, but then we would also force ourselves back on task.
It's just not how our brains work, guys.
It is not how our brains work.
And it's not what you guys want from us.
No, it isn't. What our DLs want is more of Tuesday-style episodes in your feed.
So that's what's happening. So D&M, the ones that have been done will remain there, but it will completely change. We're going to bring it forward to coming out on Thursday.
Instead of Sunday.
Because you're telling us you want us in your weekly routine.
Yep.
You will get another of our classic episode styles every second Thursday. And then by popular demand, once a month, we are starting.
I'm really excited about this.
Watch party.
Yes.
Which is like a book club, but for content.
Mm-hmm.
The things that we're all watching and consuming. It might be a documentary. It might be a Netflix thing. It might be a YouTube series. It could be a podcast. It could be anything.
It could be anything, but it will be a thing that is collecting groundswell and people are talking about it and you guys want to hear our opinions.
Just like our Saltburn episode, which you all drank up.
Or our Barbie episode. Or the time that we unpacked Bridgerton, for example.
I remember that.
Yes.
And there's a season 3 coming. We'll definitely put that on Watch Party. So basically, if you become a subscriber, you get 2 extra classic style episodes, a Watch Party,
and but wait, there's more.
If you're a subscriber, you are automatically in the running every single month for presents. We are launching the Basic Bitch Bonus.
Yep. It's going to be drawn once a month and it could be anything from an epic care package
to a very sexy new vibrator to some skincare to clothes to jewelry. It's basically just every single month we're doing a big giveaway of presents. And if you're a subscriber, you don't even have to do anything. You are automatically in the running to win that. Guys, this is open to all the DLs across the globe. It doesn't matter where you are. If you're a DL and you're a subscriber, you are part of the very best besties club and you get all of that. So it's all shaking up. It's going to be a little bit cooler, a little bit more exciting and just a little bit more us.
Hunji P. And to launch this whole new version of us with more time for this, we're doing the biggest giveaway
we've ever done.
We have ever done to kick it all off. So our Basic Bitch Bonus for the month of March is a golden ticket lunch.
It's a girl's lunch.
With Revs and I.
With us.
And it's super intimate.
Mm-hmm.
There are 6 spaces up for grabs. As Revsy mentioned, you don't have to do anything, but you might just get a golden ticket in your email with an invitation to come to an intimate gals lunch with your besties, Revs and Jem.
And 6 DLs.
And it doesn't matter where you are.
Nope.
We're going to fly you out to us.
Yep. We're going to put you up for the night and we're going to have a long girls' Sunday lunch all together because
We fucking love the DLs. Mm-hmm. And sometimes you just need a ticket out of your life for one day.
Yeah.
So if you are a subscriber already, you're in the running to win a golden ticket to the lunch. If you are not a subscriber, you can easily become one on Apple Podcasts or Spotify if you're an Android user or if that's your preference. Mm-hmm. It's super easy. There is a link in our Instagram bio and in the show notes for Spotify or Apple, depending on your preference. You can subscribe. It's $3.99 a month and you get all that.
DLs, I am really excited to be in your ears 3 times a week.
Yo! I'm just thinking of all the fun walks and commutes that we're going to be part of now for the besties.
Well, Rebsy, now that we've done the enormous announcement, it's time to hit me with your not spot.
Oh, I've got a really fun one and it's free.
Go on then.
It's a follow.
Ooh, love a follow.
Now, I know you're not a big consumer of beauty content.
No.
But is that because it's so obtuse and you don't like looking at it? What is it?
I guess I'm particular about who.
Yes, same.
Yeah.
Now, I have found someone. She's amazing. She's a Brit living in the States. She does makeup.
Mm-hmm.
Her name is Kate Jane Hughes.
Love it.
At Kate Jane Hughes. She actually has her own makeup line. But what she does for the internet is she's in her 40s, so her face looks like mine.
I was going to say, that already is refreshing.
And she does these makeup looks that are really creative and cool. They're not so creative that you would never wear them. Yeah, they're not like
aspirational where it's like, I'm never going to do that, but I enjoy consuming this.
It's fun. It's like, oh, I could totally wear that this Saturday night or to a 40th or whatever. Mm. She does lots and lots of very different looks, but she really talks you through how and why it's cool. It is so doable. Mm. She's just a really, really great follow. I love her creativity, but also that she like gives you these little hacks like do your concealer last.
Like last?
Last, last.
Like after blush last?
After everything. It's amazing. Anyway, go follow her.
I don't know how I feel about that.
Oh, dude, I was like, no, come on, Kate Jane Hughes, you're crazy.
I'm Skeppy Sally over here.
She's right. It does really lift your whole complexion. Anyway, she's got lots of pearlers like that and she makes content so regularly. It's my favorite new channel. Mm, go follow her.
Amazing.
Hit me with your nut spot.
Look, mine is something to spend money on.
Yep, great. As long as one of us doesn't.
Exactly.
Keep the economy going.
Now, I'm a hat girly now.
Yeah, you are.
More specifically, I'm a cap girly.
Yeah.
I'm really enjoying wearing caps. I do the school run now.
Yes. Cap is essential.
It is essential. Hide the grease.
Hide it all.
Active wear is always my preference. Yep. In dropping or picking up Rafa from school and throwing on a hat. So if anyone is looking for a cool cap. Attila Cubs has just launched a cap in collaboration with the Brickies wife.
Oh, I've seen it.
I love Coco's account so much.
I've seen it.
And it's called the School Run Cap.
I love it.
And it literally says school run.
Yep.
But hear me out. Some people might be like, no, what? I'll never wear that. It's fucking cool.
It's cool.
There's like a cream one.
Pair it with your Good Mum t-shirt and the whole world knows what you feel.
But it says School Run in a really nice orangey retro red color. And then there's a brown cap version as well. I am obsessed.
Yeah, it's very cool.
So if that's your vibe, School Run Mum Cap.
Yep.
Do yourself a solid. Check it out at Attila Cubs. In collaboration with the Brickie's wife.
I feel like caps, like dad caps specifically, they're like, you can never have too many of them.
No, but you want variety in colours.
Yeah, for different fits.
Yes.
And different moods.
But see, this makes me want to launch a cap.
Okay, let's launch a cap.
A potty cap.
Potty cap.
We've done t-shirt merch, but we've never done caps and I'm really into them and I feel like we could do it well.
Great.
You know?
Yep. Let's do it.
It's all about the shape.
It's all about the shape.
All right. That brings us to the end of another Tuesday episode. Oh, my God. I'm so excited about more time for this.
Me
like
too.
The thought of you and I getting to talk more shit, but in an unbridled fashion warms my heart.
Yeah. It's going to be fun, guys. Hope you have a wonderful week. We'll be back in your ears bright and early on Friday morning with a bestie hotline.
Bring.
See you then.
Bye-bye.
Bye.